listening
to the CD Baby.
CD Baby.
CD Baby.
DIY
Musician
Podcast.
Hey there, and welcome to episode number 162 of the CD Baby DIY Musician Podcast. My name is Kevin Bruner, your host for the show. And in this episode, you're going to hear my interview with Becky Yee, who is a commercial photographer in New York City. Becky has worked on a wide variety of commercial photo shoots that have included shoots for major publications, shoots for the fashion world, and shoots for all types of musicians, from indie artists to major label artists at the top of the charts. Unfortunately for many artists, photography is an afterthought that is done quickly without much consideration of the final product. In my opinion, this is a mistake. In my interview with Becky, we'll discuss how to find a good photographer, what to expect in a photo shoot, and how to make sure you get what you need. We'll also round out the conversation with some DIY tips so even that iPhone photo shoot can get better results. I know this topic can be a bit controversial for some, but like it or not, the visual image your fans and potential fans encounter of you on the web instantly start telling them a story about who you are. And speaking of what your fans or potential fans encounter of you on the internet, it is so important that you have a home for your music on the web. Music fans don't have time to chase bits and scraps of your music career all over multiple social networks on the web. It's frustrating. I've done it many times myself when trying to find out information about an artist. Sure, social networks are important tools, but you need a place where you can own your fan relationship, feature and sell your music, and tell your artist's story the way you want to. And that's why we built Hostbaby. There are some really cool new themes and tools that make it easy to have an amazing looking website in minutes. You can try it free for 30 days. Plus, if you need help building that website, there's a crew of folks that will answer the phone and help you out. So just go to hostbaby.com to get started. And again, you can try it free for 30 days. But with that being said, let's get to my interview with Becky. Joining me on the line is photographer Becky Yee. Becky, how are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful today. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. It was great having you at the DIY Musician Conference this past fall. And it was great that I can't even remember how we connected with you for that. But we've been discussing a little bit that bad photos is one of my big pet peeves. And So I've been wanting to have a photographer on the show forever and just haven't found the right one, but I think you are the right one to lead us through this conversation about photos and why they're so important and all that. But before we get to that, why don't you tell us a little bit about the work you do and the typical clients you have, some of the maybe notable photo shoots you've done, and anything else we need to know about you?
Okay, well, I'm born and raised in New York City, but I spent 10 years living and working in Tokyo, Japan. And when I was in Japan, they would hire me a lot to shoot all the foreign musicians that would go there because I speak Japanese, so I can speak to the clients and I can speak to the talent. And usually when you're working with any talent that's being sent to Tokyo, Japan is pretty much an A-lister because it's so expensive to fly everyone over. And so I got to meet a lot of great people, you know, Aerosmith, Lenny Kravitz, all the big people that are sent to Tokyo, would be in front of me. I've got a great story. One time I photographed them. They were big at the time. I think they were like a one-hit wonder, The Darkness. And at the time, they were like at the top of their game, and they opened up the VMAs in America as well as the VMA Awards in Japan. And they were just really great to work with. I love the stories that everyone says to me, and photos play such an important part to promoting them to the, you know, the local crowd. At that time, it was all the editorials and magazines in Japan.
Yeah.
Notable clients, I guess I shoot for Rolling Stone and Billboard magazine here, and I love music.
Yeah. How would you classify the kind of style of photography you do as far as like on, you know, you do more than just musicians. So how would you, if someone's like trying to find a photographer, I think just knowing what the difference of, you know, between Sears Portrait Center and a real photographer. How does someone find a photographer like yourself? Like, what do I look for?
I mean, it's funny how a lot of it is word of mouth. It used to be when they had more editorials, you'd look in an editorial. So if you saw someone shoot an editorial in a magazine, you just call them up, and I would get hired like that. I think actually Diesel hired me once, and someone had just seen a photo in another magazine. They said, hey, I like this girl's style. Let's call her up and book her, because they always have your name and they have your agency's name.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how usually people find me. But now with the internet, you could just Google, you know, great band photos, photographer, and you might be able to find me. I think you can, you know, find people. But even if they have that as a search engine, you really just have to look at the caliber of work that they do. I mean, a serious photographer, wedding portrait photographers, they're very different than what I do. I really do highly stylized commercial shoots. I consider myself very soulful and very highly stylized. Like, so if you have a concept, I'll just give you an example of a photo shoot I just did. And this one artist said, Becky, I've tried several times to do a shoot like this, and it never came across. And I was like, that's because of the type of photographer you're hiring. They say, yes, 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 we can do it. But they don't really know all the components that are necessary to kind of get the vibe and feel that you're trying to go for. But an experienced photographer like myself, you know, I've been shooting for like 10, 15 years, and I've shot, you know, major album covers, and I've shot campaigns for big fashion labels. And I know all the necessary components that you need: hair, makeup, styling, you know, art direction. All those pieces have to fit together in order for you to get that iconic photo.
We were talking about photo shoots being one of my pet peeves. I've been in bands, both on a major label and independent, for going on 18 years, I think. And I think over that course of time, I've had two photo shoots I would consider were good photo shoots, and a whole lot of others that were just a struggle, disappointment, didn't get me what we needed, might have had one good shot. And so it's one of those things where, especially as we end in the social age, where there's just so much imagery that you need around your music in order to be able to have adequate press campaigns, fill out your website. But I think it all starts with, I think one thing you touched on when you spoke at the conference was even just trying to find a look. How should an artist even know how to start even defining a look that they can then take to a photographer like yourself and get something? What are some things that they should, some self-assessment they should do?
Well, the self-assessment that I always ask anyone that I've ever photographed, I don't care if it's for a headshot or for like a campaign or a CD cover, it really is to be authentic. You know, really know who you are. Know what you stand for. I mean, and you may think you're one thing, but if you dig deeper, is that really you? I photographed this one girl who literally, this girl was like the sweetest, wholesome girl you can imagine in the world. And she would go to church every Sunday at 6 a.m. And she was just a very, very lovely girl. And I love photos of her when she was smiling. Yet in her mind, she thought she was like sex kitten diva. And I was like, and every picture she's giving me the female equivalent of Blue Steel. Like pouty lips, pulling her jeans down with her thumb, and like I couldn't, like it drove me bananas. I was like, okay, nice one, can we do some other things? Because so for artists, I would really suggest to like really know yourself. You know, don't do photos that you think this is the way a pop singer should look. Don't pout your lips because it doesn't look appropriate if it doesn't suit you. I've been on many, many shoots where they think that, oh, in order for me to be a singer, I've got to like do the sexy pouty lip pucker thing. And it just makes them look like weird fish. it's just not them. You know, when some people are like smiling, their whole face lights up, the camera lights up. And I'm just like, okay, that's what I want. I don't care. You don't have to be sexy. You don't have to be cool. You just have to be yourself. And the more you know of who you are at a very deep level, the more in touch you are with that, the more you can communicate that to the photographer, and then it's a photographer's job to make you feel so comfortable in front of the camera that they pull it out of you.
So what are some tips as far as trying to take that idea of, okay, this is who I think I am, and actually conveying that to a photographer?
If it's a good photographer, they'll get it, because I really feel that, you know, what the photographer's job is to breathe life, make it into your vision. So they're basically taking your idea, breathing life into it, and making it a physical reality in the form of a photograph. So they're taking, you know, you may have talked to them and told them a whole story for like 30 minutes explaining who you are, but they have to be able to get it in 1 second. And that 1 second is the second that the shutter snaps. And that, I think, is a difference between a really good photographer and an okay photographer. And there's a really big difference. The difference between good and great is about 5%, but it's a really, really important 5%.
So you talked about, you know, a good photographer and a great photographer. I think where a lot of artists struggle, say even if I know who I am, even have an idea of what look I'm going for. What are some things that when I go seek out a photographer that I should look for as some good indications of whether or not this person's going to get it, or if this person is maybe not going to be able to pull together my image, or maybe not the photographer that really has that band experience or experience with, you know, that kind of shoot?
Well, I mean, I don't, you know, you can think outside of the box. If you really like kind of old school black and white, you know, photos, and then you find a documentary photographer that does this real social documentary look, that's fine too. You know, it depends on what you are going for. What's the look and feel? You know, do a little research, spend a couple of hours on the internet, put together a Pinterest board of anything that you like, anything. It could be a flower, it could be a logo, it could be like, I like the partial destruction of this text, you know, and then from there, look at the photographers, look at their work, you know, look at all of their work, the scope of their work. Do they only do weddings? Do they do commercial jobs? Usually people that can do commercial jobs can do, they understand concept to the final, you know, the final image. You know, they're used to putting all the elements, the styling, the location, the lighting together. You know, if you're getting someone off of Craigslist for $100, you cannot expect them to do the same job that someone that shot the CD jacket for a major label person is going to be able to produce. It's not going to happen because they just don't have the experience.
So if you're in that situation where you're having to deal, well, let me back up.
Okay.
Let's go back with we kind of weeded out the people that are inexperienced. And now we've found a photographer. What are some things as far as like negotiating and how that kind of understanding how they run their business might affect your shoot? And I bring that up because this happened to me recently. Our band was playing in a town. We don't all live in the same part of the country, so we have to take advantage of times when we're together to get a shoot done. We hired someone that was recommended locally. And he was wanting us to charge us for every photo he gave us as if it was more like a print shoot or something. It was just like very frustrating and just trying to figure out what some of those things that you might encounter is someone trying to hire a photographer as far as understanding how they might run their business.
Yeah. There's definitely different. A lot of times people that work as like portrait photographers or boudoir photographers or wedding photographers, they really don't make their money on the photo shoot themselves. They actually make their money selling you prints and the rights to license the print. And that's where they make their money. So you think that you're getting a deal if someone goes, oh, I'll do it for $250. But then what you don't realize is that they charge you for every single image that you use, and it's $200 per image just for the licensing. And so you have to look at the overall package of what you're getting. So I actually, for all the people that came to the DIY conference, I actually put together like a photo shoot checklist of all questions that you should ask the photographer before your photo shoot.
I have that checklist in front of me. We should discuss it.
But I thought that was Like, those are the things I want to know as a photographer too, you know, and these are the things you should be asking your photographer, like, what do I get for this? You know, I'm going to give you this amount of money. What do I get in return? And what is the timing on it? People always forget to ask these things. They're just so busy and they just want to kind of jump into it. But you do have to, when you're planning a, if you want to plan a good photo shoot, you've got to just like sit back for a second and really look at it. Okay, what do I need? How am I going to get it? When am I going to get it? How much is it going to cost me?
Yeah, and I think one of the two biggies that's off your list, like you've got things like price, deliverables, usage rights, how are the images delivered, what format are these images in? That's always a good question to ask some people.
No one ever, yeah. Really, I was like, of course. If they go, oh yeah, I'll give you all the images, there'll be 100 pixels on the long edge. I was like, okay, you could barely use it for your Facebook profile page. You know, and you, if you think you're going to be able to do a printed CD insert with these images, it's not going to happen. And then they nickel and dime you, and then you're like, wait a second, this photo shoot that I thought would be like $250 is now costing me $2,500.
Yeah.
And you're frustrated, but it's not really the photographer's fault because that's the way they've set up their business.
Yeah.
It's your fault for not asking for what is involved in this photo shoot because they know how they run their business, but you don't know how they run their business. So I would always suggest to really make sure that all the terms of the photo shoot are very clear before you do the photo shoot. How many photos do I get? What format are the photos being, will I receive? How will I receive them? When will I receive them? This is such an important thing. One person that went to that conference, she said, I was like, has anyone had an experience where they do a photo shoot hoping to get their CD out within a month and they don't have the photos ready? And half the people raise their hands. And I asked someone, how long did you wait? This one, I'm not even joking. One girl at the conference said, I waited 8 months for these photos.
Oh, man.
8 months. That is not a, that's not right.
Yeah.
That's,
well, and then the other one, I think the deliverables is key where, like you said, so I've had the situation where someone's like, oh, I'll give you a disc with all the images. And they're like 200 by 200 pixels. I'm like, I can't use this for anything. And then, oh, if you want the full image, you're going to have to pay me more. I'm like, would have been nice to know. But also the usage rights. I think that's something that can vary from photographer to photographer, where I think most bands probably walk into a photo shoot thinking that, hey, I'm paying, you know, $250, $500 for the session. They're going to hand me all the photos for me to do with what I want. And sometimes that may be the case, but other times I've gotten, you know, proofs back with low res proofs with watermarks on everything. And,
yeah.
And, it kind of being a process to get what you need and pay more. Sometimes they're just being difficult and challenging and sort of controlling. It's interesting. That's why I think it's important for artists to know that, like you said, to have that checklist and go through it with the photographer so they know that what they're getting.
Yeah, so it really is not the photographer's fault. That's just like, you feel like you're being scammed in a way. You know, so I've heard some people like, what? I have to pay for these photos? And like, yeah, that's how this business works. And they get upset at the photographer. It's like, nope, it's not the photographer's fault. It is your fault for not asking. You know, you have to be educated. You have to know how they run their business in order for you to get what you want. And maybe that's not the right photographer. Maybe you should just pay a little bit more and get everything.
What would you say would be some average price ranges? I know, you know, you're there in New York City. I'm sure hiring a photographer like yourself there is going to be far more expensive than, say, someone who's listening to the podcast in Kansas or Colorado or even up here in Portland where I'm at. But what would be some price ranges like, hey, you can probably get a solid photographer, commercial photographer in this price range?
I mean, you can probably, for band photos, it always depends. But I would say you can get a photographer for $500,
mm-hmm.
you know. But I think the typical commercial rate is usually $2,500 to $3,500,
mm-hmm.
up to $5,000 for a day. But you could do things like, try to limit the time. So sometimes I know people want to shoot with me And I'll be like, okay, we can do this. It's $1,000, but you're doing everything in an hour and a half or 2 hours. Mm-hmm. You know? And then it really makes the artist work really efficiently too.
Yeah.
She's like, okay, I've got to get 10 outfits done in 2 hours.
Yeah.
And I was like, fine. If you can get it done and we're out of my studio with lighting changes in 2 hours, I'm fine with that. I think I just did something with that where it was like $1,000 for 2 hours in my studio. And that girl really, really worked her butt off, was super organized, and we got everything done. The problem is when you're not organized and you're there now 8 hours, 10 hours in the studio, like, oh, do you think I should wear this outfit or should I wear that outfit? Right, you're wasting time in the studio.
Yeah.
Decide beforehand. You could do this. These are things you can figure out before you come to the studio. Try the outfit on. Look at yourself in the mirror.
So if I was approaching someone like yourself who's a busy photographer, but I love your work and I'm like, I really want to use you. But if I come to you saying, look, I've got all my crap together. Here's what I've done. Here's what I'm looking to do. And I love this stuff that you've done. That's probably going to be an easier sell for the reduced rate, I'm assuming.
Yes. Like, don't ask them, what's your rate? Because they're going to give you their commercial rate. If you say, look, this is what I need. This is how much money I have. Can you help me out? Then if they're available, like, okay, I've got a time slot on this day, I'll fit you in. You know, I even had someone that I met at South by Southwest. And I didn't even meet him. I met his friend. And his friend just loved the work that I did. And he literally stalked me on every single social media. He goes, I really want you to shoot my music video. And I was like, okay. And he told me his budget. And I was like, okay, that's like way low. And I was like, can you come up to at least this much and fly me down to Houston? I've got places I can stay down in Texas, so that's not a problem. I was like, at least, you know, $1,500 or something like that, and my plane ticket, and then money for my editor. And I was like, and send me the song. I go, send me the song. Before I even said yes, I said, send me the song first. And I said, send me the song, and then I'll think about it. He sent me the song. I listened to the music, and I thought the music was so good that I wanted to help them out. So sometimes you can, if you see a photographer, even if they're completely out of your price range, just approach them. Don't ask them what their rate is if you know that it's way under. Just go to them, say, hey, I really like your work. I don't know if there's any way I can work with you. This is a budget that I have. This is what I need. Do you think you can do something?
Yep. I think that's good advice. I think in the creative spaces, even on the, you know, I've run into that with high dollar producers as well. Sometimes they just have a open slot in their schedule. They're like,
yeah,
I'll fit somebody in especially if I like what they're doing and help them out. So that's good advice. So one thing I'd be curious about knowing is when, like, you've done photo shoots with major label artists, sort of what the direction has been as far as number of poses and different vibes. I'm just kind of curious because a lot of times I think bands end up in this situation where they're just like, I'm just praying that I get one decent shot that I can use for something. And then they walk away with having one photo that is used for absolutely everything. And it just feels like that photo's worn out after a month. Where I came across an artist's website here at work recently where he had this really nice photo shoot done with, and it was all in the same location, but different. It was at the beach with this cool looking car, but there was shots inside the car, him outside. And it made more of like this whole experience because he had so many different photos that worked well together. And it was such a kind of an exclamation point about how having a nice set of photos to work with can really help you build out your image.
Yeah, I mean, usually the way I work with the labels is we get a minimum of 2 days of shooting, and they basically get 6 months to a year worth of promotional material out of those 2 days of shooting.
Mm-hmm.
They're really long days. We shoot from 7 a.m. to like 10 o'clock at night, 2 days in a row. Sometimes we'll put like a day in the middle so we can all, like, the team can rest, but it's usually the whole same team, hair, makeup, stylist, photographer, assistants, and we do 1 day in the studio and 1 day on location. And when we do the location, we have a location van, and they drive us to, let's say, four different locations, more if we can fit it in. Even if we see something along the way, we'll stop the van and everyone will hop out. And they'll have many different looks, many different, lighting situations, and they get everything that they need. Because what happens a lot of times with major label artists is that they're on the road promoting their record. So they're never around to get a promotional shot. So the managers will actually hold on to the images and they'll release exclusive content throughout the year, mm-hmm. depending on where they're going. They'll also pitch an entire story to different magazines because it'll be a whole editorial spread ready to go. And the people will just pick it up.
So
it's usually 2 days. 2 days, you definitely need one in the studio. Mm-hmm. Where you can have like kind of clean backgrounds, very, very simple. And then one on location that's got a little bit more like a concept or props or other things like that.
When we were talking, I think back before the conference, we were talking about photographers and making sure that the photographer is shooting for all the different usages that an artist will encounter, and whether it's profile photos, and album covers or web banners where you need a lot of negative space. I think I was telling you that I was very frustrated with multiple shoots recently where everything was cropped so tight and we couldn't use it. One photo shoot, we could only use things that were vertical. The other photo shoot, we could only use things that were horizontal. And it was just frustrating that there was nothing that had was shot for the web. And how can you if you've got a photographer that you think, I don't know if we're getting everything that we need, how can somebody communicate that, like as far as explaining all those different usage types to a photographer?
Well, you should give the photographer a shot list, or you should go over a shot list of the one thing I always tell everyone to do is make sure you shoot everything portrait and landscape. Right there, every single image that you have has to be a portrait shot of it and a landscape shot of it. And then, actually, I gave this also at the DIY conference. I gave everyone the formats, the most commonly used formats, like with the actual pixel sizes and everything, and the ratio. So if you think about it, like, for example, on Facebook, your Facebook banner is pretty much a 3:1 ratio. So if you take your typical landscape photo, just imagine 2/3 of it being cut off.
Yeah.
And if you do that, that'll be safe. And then you have to remember also the lower left is where the profile photo goes. So even if it's, 2/3 of the image is coming off of the top and the bottom of the photo, a landscape photo, and the lower left, there's going to be some profile that's going to be blocking the image. So you always have to account, like think about that when you're doing the composition. And if you're shooting with a certain caliber photographer that shoots tethered, they call it shooting tethered. It's when you shoot attached to a computer, mm-hmm. and you're able to view it real time as you're shooting, you can say, hey, we need to come out a little bit more on this. I need this. I really like this shot. I'd like to use on the Facebook. Let's pull it out a little.
Yeah. So. And I actually had that situation where one of those photo shoots where I was very frustrated with what we had left, I really couldn't use the photo because the profile pic, it was a landscape shot of us, but it was cropped so tight that the profile pics always covered one of the guys in the band. They were just like, please help me.
But I think, again, that's not the photographer's fault.
Yeah.
That is the artist's responsibility to communicate to the photographer what the end usage of the photos are. And if you always have that in mind, like everyone just goes like, I'm going to do a photo shoot. And they just like, they're so enamored with being the center of attention. They don't think of like, okay, this is, why am I here? How are these images? What is the final usage of these images? And shoot for that. With that in mind, with the final end usage of these photos, keep that in mind when you're doing the photo shoot, when you're requesting the, when you're doing the shot list with the photographer, you're going to give him a shot list. Like, okay, here's the shot list. These are the shots we need. These are the outfits I have. And I'd like to shoot them in these different locations.
And I think one thing, a lot of artists may not have, probably won't have the budget to do a 2-day shoot like you mentioned, but I do like the idea how you said doing one shot that's more studio or clean and one shot that might have a little bit more character. Because I know a lot of times I've run into it myself and that if you're trying to get like press or especially like the newspaper to print your photo in like, you know, whether it's the weekly or your local paper's doing a feature on you, they really need a clean shot that, and a lot of times can look good black and white, but where the clean shot might have not have as much vibe as you like, but that's something I've run into with using photos for bands. You mentioned you started talking a little bit about you know the actual shoots and on your presentation that I've got here in front of me that you did at our conference. You had a section about posing tips. You had some great tips here that I think can help people. Even if they're having to do like a DIY photo shoot, that can help them kind of visualize, okay, this is some things to look at. But like you had some tips about making everyone the same height and making a shape and perspective. So why don't you talk a little bit about those things, about how an artist can have an eye for, you know, what we should even be looking for besides just five or four guys or guys and gals standing in a screen getting our photo taken.
Yeah, I mean, you know, of course, the first thing you have to do is be comfortable in front of the camera. So I actually even say for people, you know, to, you know, do a little practice. You know, you don't just pick up your guitar and just like expect to be an amazing guitar player. You can't be just thrown in front of a camera and expect to be a good model. You know, it does take a little practice. So I really suggest that everyone start looking at yourself in front of the mirror. And if you can, even put three mirrors, one directly in front of you, two on each side of you, and look at the different angles of your face. And just practice in front of the mirror. Other things I say, this is just for mentally to get prepared for it, is to not set yourself up for failure. Don't say, I hate every photo of myself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many times have you heard, it's like, I hate every photo of myself. It's like, you're not comfortable in your own skin. That's what you're really telling me.
Yeah.
You're not comfortable or familiar with your looks. You have to be comfortable with your looks. We all have our own inner beauty. We all have our own unique, you know, aesthetics. And just be comfortable with that. I, as a Chinese woman that's 5'3", I will never look like Jessica Simpson. And I never, do you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's never going to happen.
Yes.
I'm not going to be like this tall, buxom blonde, you know, I'm like waify Asian girl. So, but I have to be comfortable with that, you know? So, you know, really don't set yourself up for failure. Be comfortable in your own skin. The best thing I can say for musicians is to have them to add movement to the photo. Move around.
Mm-hmm.
Once you're moving around, you're natural. This is how you move around, you know? When you're on stage and you're singing, usually musicians are great. You throw them in front of the camera with them standing still. They're like, what do I do with my hands? What do I look? And they're like very stiff. So why not add some of elements of movement to your photo shoot?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to have a good experienced photographer that knows how to capture it. But even if you're walking, even if you have five people and the photographer is walking backwards, okay, everyone, let's walk together. And they're taking photos. Don't always look at the camera is another thing. Look around you. You know, look to the right, left, above, below. You know, also don't stand so square onto the camera. This isn't like, you know, your yearly class photo. You know, it's a band shot. You don't have to stand square with your shoulders square to the camera. Turn your shoulders to the side, three quarters. You know, put your back to the camera, look over your shoulder. These are all things that are all within the realms of possibility that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
But no one thinks about doing them when they're on a photo shoot. Like, oh, yeah, why didn't I do that? I'm like, yeah, why didn't you? Right? So start to think about, add movement. You know, where you're standing, walking. It could be even a simple hand gesture can make a static portrait look interesting. I think I did one, who did I shoot? Like No Effects, right? So the punk rock band. And like one person always takes their shirt off.
You know? I've never had that happen in any of the bands I've been in.
It's their vibe. Like, and someone will just like take their shirt off. And even the motion of them taking their shirt off is like, you know, you're adding a gesture, you're adding movement to the photo. And that's good, you know, jump around, spin, walk, you know, a head nod, you know, anything that can add something dynamic rather than just a straight on photo. I mean, of course, everyone does the Ramones pose, just them sitting against a brick wall, like yeah. So punk rock. But, you know, you need other things too.
Well, I like the one tip you have that I think to me is the one that I always look for is about making a shape. Because I think part of making an interesting photo is like the idea of how the band as a shape is sitting in the whole, you know, environment that they're placed in. And,
sure.
And I think that one I think is very helpful when people start realizing. I think they kind of, you know, the way people typically approach photography is, can I see everybody's faces? All right, smile. Oh. And that's how, you know, we've all our lives growing up, people have treated us in front of a camera. And in a band, it's not about seeing everybody's face and smile necessarily and sort of making some interesting shapes with the group.
Yeah, definitely, you know, have some people sit on the ground, have people standing. So they're all different levels. Do you know what I mean? You can, and it could be like a triangle and a square next to each other. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It just has to, you have to like put some people up higher, some people lower, some people to the side, some people to the left, but it has to be a nice, pleasing, aesthetic shape. Another thing, if it depends on if it's like guys and girls, sometimes I do something that I call car crash. That's what I call it. I'm like, okay, everyone on the floor and let's play car crash. So I make everyone lay on each other and like they crash in the car. Like, so people's legs are on, you know, people are like a girl has their elbow on some guy's knee and like, you know, they're all kind of like, it looks like some of this like PG rated orgy or something.
You're going to have to send me a photo of one of your car crash photo shoots. I want to see.
I just did one. If you check my Instagram, I did this one picture. I called it car crash, but I had like 10 girls in bikinis. I went to like a bikini brand's launch and I was like, what? I love taking photos of groups and I love taking photos of girls in bikinis. I'm like, what? A group of girls in bikinis? I'm like, I have to do this photo. So, if you look at my Instagram, there's a picture of like 10 girls in bikinis and I put that shape together in about 2 minutes. And everyone's like, wow, you made them look so good so quickly. I was like, yeah, I do this all the time because I like it. So yeah. You could play car crash, but, you know, again, have somebody laying down on the ground at the front, have some people kneeling, have some people sitting on a couch, have some people standing on the couch, you know, like, I think I did one photo actually in Okinawa, and they have these very interesting trees where the roots are above ground because it gets so wet that they don't go in the ground, the roots of the trees. So the roots of the trees are actually like above ground and it makes this really crazy, amazing shape. And I just put everyone in there and I made people climb all the way up like on these like giant roots of these trees and it looks great. And you can do that in spaces that you have in your local environment. I'm sure there's a park where there's like some rocks or trees or everything. And some people can be up very high, some people can be very low. They could be standing, sitting on the ground, up on the rocks, you know. And it could make it so much more interesting. You just have to think about it.
Yeah. And I want to add that for anyone who's thinking shapes, when you were saying square and triangles, you weren't talking about them laying down on the ground in a square shape.
No.
But that the idea of the visual of how the group fits in the space. Yeah. Like you've got in that deck that you had at the conference, you've got a picture of a band. I can't figure out who it is with a Great Dane.
They're in a V.
They're in a V, and then there's another band that's kind of just all more in a, I wouldn't call it a square or a circle, but it's kind of, you see how you're the point of like looking at the shape. And I think if artists look at other band photos that they like and they start looking at the band as a whole is what shape they're making, it can kind of help kind of convey the look you're going for, even if you're having to do a DIY photo shoot, help you kind of compose it yourself.
Sure. Lots of times like triangles are really easy. So whatever you do, you have one person in the center, that's the highest point, and then you kind of have a triangle. So, you know, two people that are a head lower, you know, four people that are much lower, and then one person on the ground, like laying diagonal, like across the ground or something. So you make kind of a triangle. That's the easiest one. If you always think, and it could be two triangles next to each other. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. How do you know when a photographer's kind of losing it and maybe has an idea that's going way overboard and maybe a time waster? How do you?
Hopefully you know that before you hire them. You know. I know people talk a big game, and the difference between like an amateur photographer and a professional photographer is the amateur photographer might be able to get you the photo,
mm-hmm.
might be able to do it. Whereas a professional photographer knows, I can get exactly that.
Uh-huh.
And it's, you know, they know everything. They know the lighting, they know the mood, everything. It's like, you know what we need here? We need a fog machine. And you're like, what? Sometimes it's like the stupid, you're like, are you joking? Like, no, it'll really add something to the shoot. And you're like, yeah, okay. Like when you have like shafts of light, you know,
yeah.
Like we wanted to recreate in the studio, like the person's on stage. So we had an optical spotlight and then we had a smoke machine, and the smoke machine actually catches the shaft of light. And it looks like, you know, like they're on a spotlight on a stage, mm-hmm. even though we were only in a small studio. It made it look like they're on this gigantic stage.
That's cool. How long does it take you to set up something like that?
I mean, that it's not long.
You got smoke machines sitting around.
I actually do have a smoke machine in my studio. I like it just because I like it. Even when we just use it. I actually just use it for a Halloween shoot.
Ah, yeah. There
in a
you
Halloween
go.
Shoot, I used red and blue gels on either side. And a black background and a smoke machine, and it made everything look amazing.
As far as the gear, or you know, when you're putting together your shot list, is it important to know the kind of cameras they're going to be shooting with? Is that helpful at all? I mean, and I know that I think some of the problems with you, before we started recording, you were talking about iPhone photos, and you know, there can be some photos that people get decent photos with those, but they're always so wide. I mean, all you're getting is a wide angle and super, super wide.
I mean, you can give me any camera and I can knock it out of the park. I mean, this is completely separate. I ran the Tough Mudder and I didn't want to bring any good cameras with me because you're like, it's a 12-mile obstacle race in the mud.
Yeah.
And even though I had like a waterproof bag, I'm going to be muddy. So I bought like literally the crappiest Canon IXI One Touch. I mean, my iPhone takes better photos than this frigging camera.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was like, holy crap, I can't believe you got such amazing photos with that crappy camera. So it doesn't matter what camera they're using. It's who's using it and how they're using that camera. I'm sure I can probably do an amazing photo shoot only with my iPhone with someone. You know, if we said like, okay, Samsung's hiring us to photograph this band only using their Samsung camera, I bet I can knock it out of the park. So I don't really think it's important what camera you use, as who's using the camera. Of course, you have to know that this person uses more than just the iPhone camera. I mean, I can shoot with 8x10, you know, film cameras with sheets. You know, I can use every camera. I mean, I love shooting with the medium formats. But the medium formats, even to rent it for the day, is $700 for the camera rental.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that doesn't even include the lens. That's only for the body.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking $1,000 just for the camera rental. So that's not going to be a cheap shoot. But usually I think everyone's shooting like with the Canons or the Sonys and the Nikons, and they're fine for what you need. If you want to go a little bit higher quality, shoot with the Hasselblads. And if someone's saying, yeah, I shoot with a Hasselblad with the Carl Zeiss lenses, that will make a huge, significant difference in the quality of your photos.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even, I wish I had that camera. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I rent it for when we need, when we're doing bigger commercial jobs, but even the lens, one lens is $5,000 for those cameras.
Yeah, we just upgraded our video camera here at work that we do shoots with for video, and it's amazing how different the quality, when you upgrade the quality of the lens and the camera, how much the image quality changes, and it changes in ways you didn't even imagine. Like, oh, now my old videos look terrible.
Yeah, so. I know. I mean, I have to say that, you know, the the Sony A7 Rs are really great, and of course the Canon Canon 5Ds are just really, really for the price range. They're just incredible cameras, and I think you can take a really great photo with any one of those cameras. But if you're going to go up another level, then you'd go with like the Hasselblads with the Hasselblad's nice lenses with a phase one back. I mean, this is all probably gibberish to someone that doesn't know anything. But if they do hear someone's like, oh, I shoot only with a Hasselblad 5D or H5D and all Zeiss lenses, then, yeah, those photos are going to be incredible.
Yeah. You know? That's the high end. On the low end, what would be some tips that you have for this artist starting out, wants to do either, they don't even have to be starting out, because I've been on a serious budget before on various projects where it's a new project. It's like, hey, we don't have any money to do anything more than record. We need some photos. We need to do it DIY. What would be some tips you would give an artist that's just gotta pull something off that's usable, total DIY budget? They're looking at their iPhone or what? What would be some tips you'd give them?
I mean, make it interesting. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you don't have much money to do like really good lighting, and that you're in a place that has this ugly fluorescent lights or something, shoot it in black and white, you know? Do anything to your advantage. If you know someone that's got, an antique 1950s Bel Air, ask them to use it. Mm-hmm. You don't even have, you could even do something like go to a car deal and like, do you think we could take some photos inside this car with our phone? So why not?
Take it for a test drive. Your band shoot's located just around the corner.
I mean, there are like some classic car shows that you can go to, yeah. Use things that are already in your immediate environment to mm-hmm. your advantage. Sometimes a lot of local bands, they don't like to shoot things that are in their locality, or they don't think. I shot a band that's from Austin, Texas during South by Southwest, and there was this great bar that had this amazing sign that says Austin on it. And I'm like, guys, why don't you just take a photo in front of the Austin sign? And like, oh, that's cheesy. I'm like, no, it's cheesy if you're from Austin, but if you're trying to get booked in New York, it's cool.
Yeah.
And they're like, really? I'm like, yeah.
I know what sign you're talking about. I took a photo of it myself.
No, there's a bar actually, Spider Bar.
Oh, it's inside the bar.
Bar.
Oh, okay. There's bar that's got a big Austin sign painted on the side too.
Yeah, no, that I know that place. It looks like a postcard, like green.
Yes.
Yeah, not that one. There's actually a bar called that I loved. I shot two people there. I thought it was so cool. I went back. I'm like, I'm gonna remember this. And I had to shoot for Hanky Panky, underwear company, and I shot. It was like a broken piano, and they just had like letters from various different signs, all different shapes and sizes, and it spelled out Austin. And I thought it was
cool.
Amazing. I was like, that's amazing. Take a photo in front of that. And they're like, oh, didn't you think it's cheesy? I'm like, no, it's not cheesy. Stand in front. So use the things in your environment to your advantage. I could have taken that photo with my iPhone, and I think it would have come out amazing. You have to put just some thought into it. If you don't have a lot of money, you don't have a big budget, put some thought into it. How can I make this image like interesting? I mean, believe it or not, I did not have a headshot for a very long time because I'm always in front of the behind the camera. So I actually had to get my assistant to shoot my headshot for me. But before I had my assistant shoot my headshot, I was using a picture my father took with my iPhone. But I was in front of the Andy Warhol Museum. So mm-hmm. I'm in front of this huge wall of all Andy Warhol design. So it's still cool.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You can do things like that. I mean, okay, anyone that's in Pittsburgh, go to the Andy Warhol Museum and take a photo in front of them. It was like a giant wall of like cows or something.
What you kind of started to touch on something that I think was the last thing on my list of questions for you. And this has been something I'm always the guy in the band that's like, hey guys, we got to get photos. And I'm so excited. We're going to get photos and we're going to look good. And I'm going to use them for all this. I'm the marketing guy. That's what I do for CD Baby. I'm always the one thinking about stuff that way. And, you know, there's a couple people that are like, we have to. And then I've been in a situation where I think where somebody was acting like I killed his dog for making him come to, like I'd done something so tragic to him to make him come to this photo shoot. And it's just like a dead fish. You're like, come on, we're trying to, and like, this is stupid. I don't want, I'm like, we got to have a good photo to promote ourselves as a band. Yeah. How do you manage those situations? Because I would assume that even with some of the people on major label artists, there's always that guy in the band that's like being difficult. How do you manage that?
Well, I mean, for me, I try to talk to them and get them speaking about anything that they like, care what it is. We could be talking about, I don't know, French bulldogs or whatever, like. Just, I think one time I was doing a photo shoot with this one artist and they were miserable. They were a major record label artist and they have people come in every hour to do an interview and a photo shoot. Mm-hmm. And they've been there since 10 in the morning. It's now 8:30 at night and they still are going to go until to 1 in the morning. And he's got 2 days of this.
Right? Yeah.
And they hadn't fed the crew yet. They're so busy. They're so behind schedule. No one in the crew ate. And I'm not joking. I did a photo of him where there's a ton of food in front of him and he couldn't eat any of it. It was, this person was so miserable. This person is like giving me the dirtiest looks. Like, I hate you. F you. And I was like, Becky, I've got 20 minutes to get this friggin' photo. How the hell am I going to do this? And I really dug deep. I'm like, I did some research on this person. So I was like, I just tried to talk about anything that this person liked, anything. So I was like, hey, I heard you did this. I heard you did that, And so just get that person talking about something that they're interested in. And then it'll lighten their mood.
And I know a lot of times it comes from that particular band member is also the one that probably feels the worst about themselves in front of a camera. And that's partly where that comes from. So it's just this weird tension. Whenever I get a band photo that's halfway decent, I feel like I've won a war. It's like, not only did I find a photographer and get something that I can use multiple places, I got everyone looking good. And I feel like I need to take a victory lap after walking away with something.
Talk to the person like, look, it's like, do you want to get booked for more gigs? We need, looks matter. We spent so much time. You think that our music speaks for itself? Sorry, the photos count too. And this is just an extension of what we're doing. It's the whole package. It's the final cherry on the top of the sundae that you've spent so much time lovingly put together. Just give it a little bit more effort. Put some time, effort in it and say, look, we really need this shot. You got to, you got to step up your game,
And I think this is kind of a good little topic to close out on, because I think for artists, that is something that we hear all the time that they struggle with, like the idea that that the look of the package that you present matters. And when I say look, I don't mean like, hey, we're critiquing whether, you're blonde or brunette or you have blue eyes, but more the idea that, hey, this looks like a professional product, or this looks like something that's not professional. And that matters to the press, booking agents. It matters to fans and how they find, visually find their tribe. They know that, hey, guys, that a band that dresses like this, that's probably a band that's going to be more in line with, especially I think certain genres like heavy metal and hip hop. There's very much visuals that cue people of like, this is the right tribe of people that I'm a part of, or pop or jazz. And I think that's why if people don't think about that imagery, it can be somewhat of a hindrance to their career, especially for people that have to make quick decisions like the press or club bookers or things like that, where they don't have time to do investigation around you. They're like, hey, this music sounds pretty good. Oh, they got photos put together. They probably know what they're doing when they walk up on stage, so I can put them in an opening slot kind of thing.
Yeah. I think, before anyone listens to your music or books you for a gig, the first impression they get of your band and your music is your visual. And I think it's important that, you know, you spend time, energy, effort to think about it. And I think of it this way. You think your music speaks for itself, but you have to remember that you created your own language. Your own language is the song and that music, right? But how you talk about your music is in layman's terms. And so you have to be very, very clear with that. And so if you think about that, the whole package matters. You've got to speak like, oh, my music will just speak for itself. I don't have to do anything more. No, you are, I believe, inaccurate.
you will not believe on some of the, on our blog when that topic comes up, how many people will fight to the death over like, no, my music should be able to speak for itself. And I'm like, that's great. But people will usually see something before they click the play button.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. So I think of like your music as your own world. Like you've created your own language. Your own language is that music that you created. Now, in order to convey and talk about that music, you don't feel like you're selling out if you're like not talking in your language. You know, you're talking in plain, everyday speak. And that could be in the form of a photograph, too.
Yeah. It's
plain, everyday speak.
Agreed.
You know? Hopefully it embodies the heart and soul of, you know, what your music is and what your message is, but it's not your message.
Becky, it was great having you on the podcast. It was awesome having you at the conference, and we've already have the next conference scheduled. I'm hoping that we'll be able to get you back. We'll have to talk offline later, but I really want to try and do some more interactive stuff if you're able to make it out again next time, and maybe have some example bands that we put through a photo shoot or something interesting that we can do. Get people involved in front of a camera and walk them through stuff. So
I would love to do that. I thought when I saw Tom Jackson and how he took like one band and took them from like a decent band to really like a great performer. I feel like I can do that also with the photo shoots.
And that's
like
exactly
posing tips. Like, you know, each person is different.
Yeah.
Like, how I compose them. Obviously, I wait till someone gets in front of my camera. I'm like, okay, this is what I want you guys to do.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, that's amazing.
that's exactly what, in fact, I had that same conversation with someone who's like, next time I'd really love for Becky to do something like what Tom Jackson did, but only with photo shoots. And like, yeah, we see how the band kind of just wanders in, you know, looking like, hey, this is what we wore. Here's some options. Then how we just kind of transform them. Really, you know, nothing like major wardrobe and makeup change, but just like, hey, here's some ways to take something that would have been an okay photo and improve upon it so the band feels comfortable and feels like they got something special. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. We'll be talking to you soon about that. But thank you for being on the podcast. Where can people find out more about what you do and check out some of your photos?
They can go to arounddigitalmedia.com. And they can see my work there. And also, I do have my own website, which is becky.com. So
all right,
those two websites.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been lovely talking to you.
Yeah, and I'll be talking to you soon.
Okay.
All
bye-bye.
Right. Bye. Thanks again to Becky for being on the podcast. You can see some of her work at arounddigitalmedia.com, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes for this episode of the podcast. If you want to weigh in on the subject of band or artist photography, I want to hear what you have to say, whether it's a tip, whether you disagree with the premise of the importance of band photography, whether you have a band photo shoot horror story. There's probably some good ones out there. I really would like to hear some good band photo shoots gone wrong. I'm sure they're hilarious. You can give us that feedback or weigh in or tell us your story at 360-524-2209, or you can email us at podcast@cdbabypodcast.com, or there is always the comment section for this episode, and you'll find that at cdbabypodcast.com. Also, don't forget to subscribe to the show. I know we've got a lot of new listeners that have discovered the podcast recently. You just need to subscribe in the iTunes podcast app or whatever podcast app you're using to listen to podcasts. There's also some websites that kind of gather podcasts together. So just be sure you subscribe and you won't miss an episode. I got an email from someone recently who said they missed like 50 because they didn't realize their subscription had, for some reason, stopped working. So subscribe and you won't miss an episode of the podcast. We have more coming. So catch you later. Bye. You've been listening to the CD Baby DIY Musician Podcast, broadcasting from Portland, Oregon, USA.